Good evening. I was over there laughing at myself because I probably looked at that board tonight about 40 times just to see, and my name came up pretty fast. Tonight's lesson is going to be more about brotherly love, more about brotherly love. And I want to start off by rereading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And actually, I'm already nervous, but before we read that, I just wanted to say something before we get into the lesson. Me and Natasha and our family has traveled many different states, from California to Oklahoma to Texas to Tennessee, back to Oklahoma and to Texas. And for me personally, I could truly see here at Ninth and Main that we truly have brotherly love. Now, with that being said, let us continue to eat the humble pie that we've been eating here, at least since I've been here. It doesn't matter what's going on here, whether it's a lesson or a Bible class or an event. It's just so awesome and encouraging to see that everybody sticks around and we talk, whether it's about the lesson or the event, whichever was here, or about our jobs or just our everyday lives. It is very, very encouraging to see. Now let's get to Hebrews 1. We are 13, and we are read 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. We see here in the text. Oh, and also, this is a Bible class, so if you guys have something to say, please talk, because I might talk fast. I always make fun of my younger son, Bryson. When he preach, he talks fast, but I think I might beat him tonight if y'all don't have nothing to say. Anyhow, we see here in the text that the writer of Hebrews is saying not to forget to entertain the strangers. Now, that could be visitors that come into the building, or the people that we come in contact with in our everyday lives when we're out and about. He also says, remember the prisoners as if we were chained with them. So, in essence, if we were having hard times or we needed some encouragement, we would like people to talk to us too. So keep that in mind as well. And also those that are mistreated. So basically what that's saying to me is that everybody we come in contact with, we need to try our best to show brotherly love. We know what Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So in my mind, the only way we will not have an opportunity to show brotherly love is if we stay in our houses and don't come out. Now, I would like to look at an Old Testament example, and I'm pretty sure from the reading that we all know what I'm talking about. It's the first thing that just came to my mind about brotherly love in a physical sense and also in a spiritual sense, and that's of Joseph and his brothers. Now, we already read several of the verses, and I didn't prepare fully, and I apologize for that. So we might just skim over them real fast so I won't go off my notes. And this is my first time doing a lesson, so I'm learning, and I'm getting mental notes, so I won't fumble so much next time. I apologize. So let's turn back to Genesis 37, and I'll quickly read verses 3 and 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. But his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, and they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. I was always told by older members in the faith never to use that word hate, because that's meaning basically you want them dead. So when I read this, they really did not like their blood brother. And I just find that interesting. We know from the text that his dad loved him so much because he was born from an old age. But Joseph couldn't help that. And also that his dad made him a tunic of many colors. He couldn't help that either. We know from the story also that Joseph had the dreams, and his brothers were so mad and upset with him that they conspired against him and they stripped him of his tunic and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then they dipped this tunic in blood and took it back to their father and said a wild beast devoured him. So we see there they were being deceitful and dishonest just because of something Joseph had no a part of. Now let's turn to Genesis 39, and when I'll read verses 1 through 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he had left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. Now we see here, according to this text, without any speculation or try to go to right or to left field, Joseph didn't waver. Even though he knew something bad happened to him, he still stayed positive. And I think that's why the Lord was with him. To the point to where he went to not only a stranger, but an important person back in that day. And basically, he was second in command in his house. So for us today, I would say, just because stuff don't go our way or we might have a bad day, we never know. Somebody else could be having a worse day than us. So it's so important for us to stay in the scripture, to rely on God's word to get us throughout the day. Any questions or comments up until now? Yes, sir, Ms. Leon. I appreciate that. That was a good thought. And we see at the end of verse 6 that Joseph was handsome. And sadly, Potiphar's wife, she tried to have Joseph do something that obviously we all know, and at the time he knew that was wrong as well by sleeping with him. But he kept on refusing, even to the point to where she got a hold of his garment and he still got out of there. We also see that she lied to her husband, but still Joseph was put in prison. The Lord was still with Joseph, even so that the keeper of the prison put all the prisoners under Joseph's hand. There again, and before I keep on going, I forgot to mention, in a sense, Potiphar, he was showing brotherly love to Joseph too, by allowing him to be in the position he was in his house. And also we see here that the prisoner, the keeper of the prison, he also was showing brotherly love to Joseph because he knew the Lord was with him and he made him keeper over the other prisoners. So the prisoner became basically second in command. I just thought that was worth mentioning. We see, now let's skip over to Genesis chapter 40. And we see here, I'll just go through this part without no reading, but we see here that Pharaoh, he had a butler and a baker that was in prison as well with Joseph. And they had dreams and Joseph was able to interpret them. So I want to go to Genesis chapter 41 now, and let's pick up in verse 8. Genesis 41, verse 8. Now, this is after Pharaoh had his two dreams. And so verse 8, now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent to call for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told him his dreams, but there was not no one to interpret them for Pharaoh. Then in verse 9, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my fast this day when Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guards, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretations of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. We'll keep on reading. And verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you, you can understand a dream to interpret it. Now listen to this part. Verse 16, so Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So we have to remember that if we're listening to the scriptures, it's not ourselves that's doing the brotherly love. It's God through us that's giving brotherly love. Any comments up until now? Yes, Brother Royce. Yes, sir.
He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people's life. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. See,
Yes, sir. That's an excellent point. Yes, sir, Brother Brian.
I would also add that something about Joseph, going back to chapter 39, before the situation with Potiphar's wife, in verse 9, he knows that the adultery, the fornication with the wife, one translation calls it immense evil. And then, of course, the statement there, this is a great sin against God.
Yes, sir.
I find that interesting in patriarchal time frames.
Yes, sir.
This is a known, illegal, sinful thing to have another man's wife. And that's just proof that the marriage concept of the home, the sanctity of the home, and Joseph was governed by that set of rules. We have no evidence of Joseph being a polygamist. Anything like that. And so here's what I know throughout his life. God took care of him, but he had to ride that roller coaster.
Yes, sir.
And here you are, like Royce mentioned, at the end. He in kind, but Joseph knew what was right and was wrong. So he was like, I'm going to do good to y'all. So it's very interesting character study for sure. Brotherly love.
And I appreciate you bringing that out. I'm so nervous. I even got a highlight in my Bible. I forgot to read that verse. So I appreciate that. And that's another thing about being in the scripture, being in one accord. Because even though you didn't know it, we was thinking together. But I found that interesting, too, when I was reading and studying it, that right here, the scripture didn't say sin against Potiphar. It says sin against God. So that's what we got to remember. It's not each other that we're hurting. At the end of the day, it's God, because when we're not acting the way we're supposed to act, it's keeping people from coming in this building. It's losing relationships. So at the end of the day, yes, it's hurting us here on this earth. But as far as the kingdom, it's hurting the our Lord. Thank you for that. But we left off with Pharaoh's dream, right? I forgot the mark where I left off. Yes, we left off with verse 16. Okay, so continuing in 41, I want to look at verse 25 of Genesis, 41:25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh that he is about what he is about to do. The seven good cows are the 7 years, and the seven good heads are the 7 years. The dreams are one, and the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and 7 years, and the seven empty heads belighted by the east wind are the 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. In these 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will also arise, and the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dreams was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Man, you was not lying about the time going fast. I need to hurry up. Bear with me, I apologize. So, for time's sake, we know in chapter 42, that Jacob know there that there was grain in Egypt because of the famine. So he sent the brothers. He sent the 10 brothers, and he kept back Benjamin. Now we see in verse 6. Now Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was he who sold the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their face to the earth. I find that interesting because they didn't know who he was. But what did the scripture say he'd do? They bowed down before him. I found that interesting as well. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. I'm thinking right there, maybe that was Joseph just giving a little quick jab. I could be wrong, but anyhow, let's continue. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food," which Joseph already knew once he recognized who they were. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." Once again, that's just, I feel, probably another little jab at his brothers, because at the end of the day, he knew who they were. So let's see how I want to do this. So we know that Joseph had him in prison or jail for 3 days. We skip over to verse 18. And Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house. But you go and carry grain for the famine to your houses and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die." Let's drop down to verse 22. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us." But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simon from them and bound him before their eyes. So we know that he sent the brothers back, and Jacob now knows that Joseph is still alive. And over in chapter 43, we'll read verse 11. And their father Israel said to them, "If you must be so, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessel and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sack. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved." So we know the story that they went back, and Joseph got to see Benjamin. And drop down to verse 26, 43. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand in the house and bowed down before them on the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And when he went into his chambers and wept there, then he washed his face and came out and restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrew, for this is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's servant was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with them. And we know the story that he put the cup in there as he sent them back, just to probably throw another little jab at them. And then obviously we know in chapter 45 that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Sorry, I went fast. But with all that being said, we see here all the quote unquote tragic things that happened to Joseph. He never wavered from God. So the lesson for tonight is, no matter what happens in our everyday lives, we need to stick to the word. And as long as we live by it, I truly feel in my heart that everything will turn out for the glory of God. At this time, we will have Chad. And thank you for your attention.